This is God. Anything visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise, and Christ. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what it is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Also, wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or as their own bodies. Of his body. For a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to the church. However, let each one of you love and let the wife see that she respects her husband. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor, a scholar, and a spy in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Bonhoeffer spent some time in the 1930s before the war broke out in Union Seminary in New York. And he had done some studying there, was teaching there, and while he was there, it was obvious what was going to happen in Germany and in Europe. And so his friends there pleaded with him, stay here. Don't go back there. You might lose your life. Stay here. We'll have a job for you. But Bonhoeffer could not stay. He was compelled to go back. He wanted to return to his people and return to the Lord's church. He returned to shepherd the flock of God in Germany through the war years. He returned to resist the Nazi leadership. And he actually was a part of several plots to try to assassinate Hitler, which in hindsight, it seems like obviously the right thing to do. But in Germany in that time, not all people understood all that we now understand about that regime. The Valkyrie plot, they've made movies about it. It was one of the ones that he was a part of. It's amazing how close they got several times. And he returned also to love. In January of 1943, after he had been there in the war for many years, he'd fallen in love and became engaged. It was found out that he was a part of the plots to assassinate Hitler, and he spent the next 18 months of his life in Tegel prison in Germany. And from cell 92, he and Maria wrote love letters back and forth to each other, and they've been since published. It's called Love Letters from Cell 92. So as we talk about marriage, the title of this sermon is Marriage as Death and life. Marriage as death and life. Death is two, life is one. But marriage, as great as marriage is, it's momentary. Acutely. It's momentary in that it will end. But it's also momentary in that it points to something greater. Marriage is a pointer to something. Display of Christ in the church. Topic. Marriage is a glorious topic, and I'm going to take two sermons to So pray for me that I know how to, I can pick the most important thing. So if you feel like I haven't covered everything, just come back now. I will go briefly back through Genesis 2 to look at the origin and purpose of marriage. We'll also see that in Ephesians 5. That'll be very quick. Then we're going to focus the most of our and recover the beautiful biblical portrait of it. So first we'll see some of the things that submission is not, and then we'll look at submission as God intends, as wife in marriage. So, a lot in front of you. A few things. It is good. It is good. It is that the man should be alone. Woman. And so marriage is between a man and a woman. He made a helper fit for him. One. That is the goal of marriage and God's intention. And God also says, Jesus says later, in Matthew 19, that what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so God's intention is that marriage would last until death do we part. God's heart behind marriage. I love what Adam says when he sees his wife for the first time. God is the first father bringing his daughter, giving his daughter away in marriage. He brought her to the man. Then the man said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So do you hear joy in his voice? This at least. So God's heart for marriage is joy, that there would be joy. And then God's heart for marriage is also security, both for the man and the woman. You see here that phrase, they were naked and not ashamed. There's a security in that covenant love that they know. Beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. But it is momentary and it is only a picture of something greater. The purpose of marriage we see in Ephesians 5, we'll spend time on it this week and next week, is to display the gospel. The purpose of marriage is to display the gospel. Verses 31 and 32, Paul. Says this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So God, when he created Adam and Eve, when he created the first marriage, in his mind and in his heart was not just Adam and Eve and all the marriages that would come after it. In his mind and in his heart was to give us something that would teach us about the love of Jesus Christ for his bride, the church. It is truly a remarkable thing. Marriage is the only has this unique job to display the gospel. So it is an incredible and glorious thing that God has given us. And how do we display the gospel in our marriages? Well, as we will see today and next week, through the distinct roles that a husband and a wife have in the marriage. Like roles in a glorious play that God has written, he gives the wife and he gives the husband unique roles to play. So they are distinct roles, but I do want to be very clear. Men and women, husbands and wives, are 100% equal before God. 100% equal before God. The Bible is very clear about this. 1 Peter 3:7 says that the man and woman are co-heirs of eternal life. Co-heirs of eternal life. Many other scriptures you could look to see that. That before God, of intrinsic value, men and women are equally valuable. Men and women have equal value, equal worth before God. But I will say, diversity is beautiful. Diversity is beautiful. One of my favorite things to do every 4 years is to watch the Olympics. I like the Summer Olympics particularly. My favorite part are the opening ceremonies. Does anyone else like watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics? All the countries parade out one at a time, 195 different countries, flags, songs, costumes, dances, even how the people look. There's so much variety in the 195 countries. It is beautiful. Diversity is beautiful. Even more than that, there are over 17,000 different people groups, ethnic linguistic groups, amongst those 195 countries. All the diversity. And then even that. Just as the Crusades do not bad husbands and bad fathers, go back to the source and see the beautiful God has given us, back to the God's intention. So that's what I hope to begin to do today and next week in our verses for us to 22 through 24 again. Himself its Savior. Now as the church to Christ, so wives should submit in everything. So a few opening comments on these verses before I themselves to God, to each other. But then also, this is what these next verses are doing. Verse 22, in God's design, God has unique roles to play in the family and in society. The next comment I would like to make. These verses are not saying with. Submit to. Important thing to point out. And notice the motivation here for women, for wives. They're to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Verse 22. And verse 24, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit. Seven. And talking about their physical intimacy. So, and the husband likewise. So there is a submission comes from the cultural respond to his love and his leadership in the home, and how you support him, and how you just love him. That shows the world. It shows your children. It shows the church. It shows the world how great Jesus is. That even though your husband is imperfect, that as you are coming up under him, you are showing that you trust in beautiful and worthy calling. And I'm so thankful for many of the church and for my wife who show that to our children and to the world. The second thing I say, think about Jesus in the garden. What does he say as he prays? Father, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Why? The dance. So you got to step first and do all these things. But he said the reason that is to display the beauty of the woman. The reason for the leadership is to display the beauty of the woman. So this is not just physical beauty, husbands, that we want to display. A few months back, the Bengals lost the Super Bowl. And they lost the Super Bowl. They had a great and a horrible offensive line. Two very goals, both equally important. They would have won the Super Bowl if they didn't, but they were two different roles. Equally valuable. Does not mean calling. It's an equal and glorious calling. So, I want us to turn, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter. The root behind a wife's submission. The root. What is the foundation? What is going on? Who is cultivating disposition toward her husband. So 1 Peter 3. To ladies, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the say these verses to her every night, along with some other verses. For this is how the whole adorn themselves, their own husbands, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do. Don't hope in your family and there's not a sure foundation. Hope. Is on the achievements you have. No, the godly woman's adornment, her focus is her inner person, the inner person of the heart, an inner beauty of her character, of who she is. There are these verses that I say to Lucy of having a gentle and quiet spirit. What does that mean? If you have a gentle and quiet spirit, it means you trust in God, not in other people, not in looks, not in possession. You trust in God. You can be gentle because you know your God is strong. You can be quiet in your heart because you know that God is sovereign. He is working all things out for your good. So if you, ladies, have a hope in God, if your focus is on your inner adornment, then you will become a lion-hearted woman. A lion-hearted, godly woman. And this is what the text actually says. It says here, you will be fearless. You are her children, Sarah's children, if you do what is good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So, ladies, there are fearful things. There are many things you could fear in this life. There's sickness, there's job loss, there's parenting trials, there's marriage trials. And there are many more things that we can imagine about the uncertainty of the future. But God calls you, ladies, to be fearless. To be fearless because you fear God. Because you know that God is strong. You know that God will take care of you. You have a reverence and a trust in God. Proverbs 31 says, strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She laughs at the time to come because she knows her God will be there with her in the time to come. It's not her own strength, it's God's grace. It's not her own courage, it's trust in her God. So, the hope in God, the internal adornment, and the fearlessness, these are the roots of a godly woman. This is the root of a godly woman. And out of that will come the beautiful fruit of a wife's submission to her husband. So I have a definition for us, a definition of submission. I've waited a long time to get to it. So then I got this from author Abigail Dodds. This was an article on Desiring God. If anyone would like to see it, I'd be happy to share it with you. So this is what she said, and I'll read it a couple times. Submission is often hidden. It happens in the nitty-gritty moments of life. It's the disposition driving our hearts when we follow our husband's lead and come alongside him to cheerfully do what we can to help his initiative succeed, realizing that his success is our success and vice versa. So I'll read that second part again. It's a disposition driving the heart of a wife to follow her husband's lead, to come alongside him, to cheerfully do what we can to help his initiative succeed. So I will say this. A husband's initiative to lead his family is a shared initiative with his wife. He may be leading, but it is a shared initiative that they come up with their goals and their initiatives together. The husband takes the lead, but it's a shared initiative. And when you are one flesh, you share all things. You share your goals. You share your dreams. You share your desires. And next week, I'm actually going to share a story of how Lindsay and I came to the same place to move here to plant this church. So I hope you'll come back and hear that next week as I share that story of how God worked in our lives. But I want to talk a little more about my godly wife, Lindsay. So without Lindsay's support, I could not stand up here each week and preach. And when I have Lindsay by my side, I feel like I can do anything. Anything God calls me to do, if I have my sweet wife with me, I think I can do it. I believe I can do anything. She is the perfect helper fit for me in her organization, her planning, her wisdom, and her steadfastness. Lindsay, in her godliness, her godly role as a wife, she manages our household. She manages our finances. She manages our children. She serves and leads in ministry in this church. And at times in our marriage, she has worked outside the home. And she's always working inside the home. So I just want to honor Lindsay and praise her today for being such a godly wife. And I asked her advice. Not being a woman or a wife, I felt very limited and fully understanding what it's like for a wife to try to fulfill this role. And so this is what Lindsay said. Submission is based on trust and love. A wife trusts her husband, and she'll want to submit to him because she trusts that he's trying to lead the family in a godly way. It's based on trust and love. So ladies who are not yet married, marry someone who's following Jesus, who wants to be a part of your life and helping you follow Jesus. The second thing Lindsay said was that it's easier for her to follow me when I'm hearing her, when I'm really listening to her perspective on everything. And I will tell you, it is wisdom for me to listen to Lindsay. She has great wisdom. And I think husbands, you could probably all concur, it is wisdom for you to listen to your wife, to weigh her opinion. And many times I have changed my mind, sometimes not as quickly as I should, and sometimes not as often as I should. But many times after talking with Lindsay, I will think I need to head a certain direction, and I realize, well, she's right. She has a good point. And I head another direction. So, a husband's joy is to give his wife her heart's desires. It is a husband's joy to give his wife her heart's desires, the godly desires that he is encouraging in her. So, I have some application, and then we'll close going back to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Maria. Some application for us. So this is particularly for the ladies. Next week, guys, don't worry. I'm going to be talking to you. So be ready, men, next week. But some application for you ladies. So first application, learn submission from godly women. Learn submission in marriage, wife to husband, from godly women. And I just beg you, encourage each other, ladies, in this church. And I don't just mean the young ladies learn from the old ladies. Do that too. But I think you all can learn from each other. Ask questions. I'm sure there are many questions that I don't even know how to address in a sermon like this that you ladies can help each other. How do you submit to your husband? What does it mean here versus there? So I just beg you, ladies, learn from each other. Encourage each other. Strengthen each other. Initiate relationships with each other where you can talk about these things. The second, you can learn submission from godly women by reading books by godly women. I know some of Lindsay's favorite authors are Christine Hoover and Jen Wilkin, and then also Elizabeth Elliot. Tim and Kathy Keller wrote a book together called The Meaning of Marriage, and then John Piper wrote a book called This Momentary Marriage. And I've borrowed a lot of things from John Piper in this sermon. So first, learn from other godly women, ladies. And then learn submission from all of the Bible. Don't just go to Proverbs 31, but that's a great place to go. The whole Bible will teach you how to be a godly woman, whether you're single or married. So become a woman of the Word. Become a woman of the Word. Next application for women. I think this is really important. Share your heart, your concerns, your desires with your husband. Share it all. There's a difference between acquiescence, which is just, okay, fine, I'll go along with it because the Bible says I'm supposed to, versus lovingly submitting to your husband. And I think the key to that is fully sharing your heart, fully share your concerns. If you feel like he's leading you in a bad direction, tell him, talk it through, share your desires, your fears, your dreams, your aspirations. And I will say, I should have said this earlier, ladies should never submit to their husbands in any form of sin. If your husband is trying to lead you in a way that is against the Bible, submit to Christ first, not to your husband. So communicate it all. And husbands, I will say this, listen. Listen to your wives. Be ready to listen. So the last point of application before we close, for the ladies, take a breath. I don't want this sermon to feel like a burden to you. I want it to set you free to be who God created you to be. It is a high calling. It is a hard calling to submit to imperfect men as your husbands. But take a breath. And here's why it's not a burden. Because in submitting to your imperfect husband, remember, you're really submitting to your perfect husband, Jesus. And he is the one who's going to work through all the imperfections of your husband. He's going to work through all these things and slowly be sanctifying both of you together. It's not a burden because Jesus bore your burdens on the cross. So it's not a burden to you. Jesus is one who forgives you all your sins when you fail to follow his calling in marriage. Jesus is the one who gives you grace to fulfill your station. And Jesus is the one who will make you perfect on the last day, his spotless bride. So on April 8th, 1945, Dietrich Bonhoeffer gave his last sermon. It was to some prisoners there in detention with him. He preached on 1 Peter 1 and Isaiah 53. These are some of the things that he said, not in that sermon, but about death throughout his writings. He said, "Death is the last station on the road to freedom." He said, "All that is here is only the prologue before the curtain goes up." And he said, "Death is grace, the greatest gift of grace to those who believe in him. It is the gateway to our homeland." So on April 9th, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was taken to Flossenbürg concentration camp. And he knew what that meant. He was going to the gallows. He would be hung for treason against the Nazi regime. And as they said, "Come with us," and they knew what it meant, he said to his friend, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." There's an eyewitness account there. There's a doctor who was there, who many years later said this. He told about Dietrich Bonhoeffer's last few moments on earth. He said, "Between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m., sometime early that morning, he saw Dietrich kneeling and praying fervently to God, so devout and so certain that God was listening to him in that moment, so brave and so composed." And the doctor said this, that after almost 50 years as a doctor, he hardly ever saw a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. In a few moments, it was over for Bonhoeffer. His body was burned. 2 weeks later, the Allies liberated Flossenbürg concentration camp, and it was months until Maria even found out that her husband or fiancé was dead. Marriage is death and life. It's momentary. It's a picture of the gospel. And for all of us, men and women, husbands and wives, all of life is submission to our husband, Jesus. He's the one who said, "Take up your cross and follow me." He's the one who said, "If you hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it." And so we submit to the one who gave himself to make us his bride. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, these are hard things to live out, Lord. Lord, there are worthy things to be able to picture your gospel in our marriages, in our relationships, Lord. So we just pray, Lord Jesus, would you give us grace? You say your grace is sufficient for us. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us grace. I pray for the ladies here that they would receive your word, and, Lord, it would not be a burden to them, but they would see it as a high and beautiful and worthy calling. Lord, would you help us to be people of your word? And I pray, Lord, even as we get ready for next week's sermon, that you would be working in the men of this church, and even in myself, Lord, that we would be men who lead our wives as Christ sacrificed himself for the church. So I love you, Lord, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.